Thank you, Clayton, for reading that text to us this evening. I look around the auditorium this evening on a Sunday evening. I generally see faces that you're very familiar with. Glad that we do have a few visitors with us that we're familiar with as well. And we're glad that you've come our way. That text that was just read is really one of my favorite texts in the New Testament, and it's that for a simple reason. It makes me think about suffering and the times that I may have gone through difficult times in my life, watched my children go through difficult times, watched my brethren go through difficult times. And it brings me to a realization that no matter what happens, there is a place of comfort. There is a person that comforts us. And when we utilize the avenue of comfort through God, we can become near to the heart of God. The song that was just led is one that we're going to look at this evening in its entirety and look at it verse by verse. It's one of those things that if you look at the song in your songbook, you probably realize or notice that there's a text of Scripture that goes across the top of it. Keep silence before me and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. I truly believe that it is God's desire for each one of us to come near to Him, to draw nearer to Him. And sometimes the way that we can do that is when the best time that we can do that sometimes is when we are suffering. That's when we reach out to Him, when we look to Him probably the most often. I want to suggest to you also that it's not just during the times of suffering that we can call upon Him. But this particular song, when we look at it, is one that I believe that teaches us. Just like the New Testament tells us, and Paul tells the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, that we can teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But we sing with the grace in our hearts to the Lord. And we do that. When we come together, part of our worship is just for that purpose, to be able to join our voices together and unite together. But I also think it's equally important not to just to be able to sing to the best of our abilities. It is not just all about the four-part harmony that we sing in. It's about also doing what Paul told the church at Corinth to do, to be able to sing with the Spirit so that I may also sing with the understanding. To be able to do that, those words, when we look at them, they teach us. They admonish us. And in this song, I believe there are words of comfort there for us, to encourage us to draw nearer to the heart of God. The song itself is composed by Cleveland Boyd McAfee, who was born in Ashley, Missouri in 1866. He would later die around 1904 in that time period, just a few years after writing this particular song. But as many of the songs that we have in our songbook have backstories to them to tell us why they were written, this particular song, written in 1901, was written shortly after he lost two nieces to the deadly disease of diphtheria. Now, it is one of those things that it was heartbreaking to him, and he wrote this particular song near to the heart of God following that. What you might not know is that the very first time this song was sung, or according to the history for this song, the very first time this song was sung was outside of his brother's home. His brother's home was still under quarantine at this particular time. And he and several others got together outside of this, out of his brother's home, and they sang this song at that time. It's been used in songbooks around the world for years since that particular time. And even among those who are members of the Lord's church, it has been sung for a long, long time. We say it's an old songbook for our song, but to some it can be very new. It can be very dear to them and can have special meaning to them. It's in no less than a dozen songbooks that have been used by members of the church. Upwards of maybe even 20 songbooks have published this song like we have in our songbook this evening. And you look at it, and in his grief, he found comfort. He sought God for comfort. And he remained active in writing songs until his death. I said 1904, it was 1944. And so I want us to look at it this evening. I want us to see how it can teach us, how it can instruct us. And I want us to look at it verse by verse. In that very first verse, there is a place of quiet rest. Now imagine the suffering that he's going through right now, the personal suffering. And I want to suggest to us too, at the same time, sometimes the comfort we need is spiritual comfort. Sometimes the comfort we need is a physical comfort. But I want to suggest that God is all-powerful, all-merciful, as our text suggested to us. He is the God of comfort, the God of all mercies, and the God of comfort. And I want you to look at this. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. When I think about those verses, there is an offering that is made by Jesus, an invitation that is offered by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11. And we often can quote those verses, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you look at those verses and understand that within that invitation that the Lord is offering, there is comfort. When I want to read those to you instead of just quote them to you, I want you to follow along if you want in Matthew chapter 11. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And I would suggest that the author of this, composer of this particular song at this time was just that. He was heavy laden when he wrote these words. That there is a place of quiet rest, a place where sin could not molest, near to the heart of God. And he said, Jesus says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, I can't imagine what he's experiencing. I've lost loved ones. We've all, just about everyone in this auditorium, has lost a loved one at some point in their lives, and they know the heartbreak that is involved in it. Did you turn to God? Did you turn to him for that comfort that only he can provide? In your physical ailments, do you turn to God for comfort and peace of mind? Do you realize that when you are going to him, you are going to before him and making that supplication at a place in your attempt to draw near to him where sin has no place? And it should have no place in our lives anyway. But of course, sin is the problem. Sin is a problem that separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, we see that that was the case with Israel. It was their iniquities. It wasn't that God didn't see them. It wasn't that God couldn't hear them. But it was what brought them to this point that separated from God. It was their sins. It was their iniquities. And so when we make this attempt to draw near to God, we have to realize that we are either going to him for the means of reconciliation, and in reconciliation, we find comfort, don't we? But you think of this, when we are near to the heart of God, sin cannot molest because he will help us to resist sin, resist the tempter, resist Satan. In James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, you think of these words, or either hear these words, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." That is some of the most comforting, those are some of the most comforting words that you can see in Scripture. But it's also an understanding that in order for that to take place, I have to be in him and he in me for that to take place. I have to have resisted sin. I have to have resisted temptation in order for that place of comfort to be very real in my life. You keep reading in James chapter 4, and it says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." We have to set those things aside in order to be able to draw near to the heart of God. You know, there's another song that we sing that have words that are very similar to this. Nearer, still nearer is what we do. But you think about this idea of drawing closer to God. Over the last several Sunday evenings, we've looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And we know that those who diligently seek God will be rewarded. But part of that diligent seeking of God is our attempt to do just that. It is to draw nearer to Him so that we can find that comfort, so that we can find that peace. In verse 2 of the song, there is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. A place where we, our Savior, meet near to the heart of God. Again, I look at these words and can only imagine the things that I might have gone through or witnessed what others have gone through themselves. Not what this gentleman did when he wrote this song. But God offers comfort to those who will draw near to Him. In Psalm 94, verses 18 and 19, if I say my foot slips, Your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, Your comforts delight my soul. Spiritual anxiety is one of the most horrible things to go through. Sometimes that spiritual anxiety is God really there? Does God really care? Is God listening to me? Is God going to answer my prayer? And I think of those things and listen to the psalmist and say, I say my foot slips. And then the realization that the mercy of God is what lifts us up, is what sustains us, is what holds us where we are. Instead of falling backwards into the world with God there, we are able to maintain and continue moving forward in our lives. It's an understanding that when those anxieties seem to be overwhelming, that as I try to draw near to the heart of God, there is a place of delight for my soul, a place of comfort that only God can provide. This comfort is given through Jesus Christ. In the world in which we live today, the world in which we live that we see all the horrible things that exist, there is comfort that comes through Jesus Christ. First John chapter 4 and verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. What greater comfort is there in that? We talked about boldly proclaiming the glorious gospel of Christ. Well, these words right here, especially to those who are in sin, are the words that should bring comfort. But they also bring comfort to the child of God who may be struggling at times, realizing that God has already done something for you. God has brought peace to your soul if you've been reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son into this world as our Savior. It's listening to John the Baptist cry out as Jesus is coming to him to be baptized, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It is our comfort that we experience through Him. And it is by remaining near to the heart of God that we maintain fellowship with God, that we maintain fellowship with our Savior. And it means abiding in Him. Think about Jesus in John chapter 15, and he's talking to His disciples and those around Him about being the vine and them being the branches. But He says in verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." There is that relationship, that closeness that we are supposed to experience with God, with His Son, that we only accomplish when we are truly in Him. You know, I listened to 1 John chapter 1, and it tells me to walk in the light as He is in the light. That's abiding in Him. That's having fellowship with Him where He is. I find comfort in that, and we should be able to find comfort in that as well, and understand that when we sing this song, that there is that place of comfort sweet. And then the last verse. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Now, I personally imagine this as being that place of prayer. That place where falling down on our knees before God's throne, approaching Him, I see it there. But those who come near to the heart of God will have full release. They'll have pardon from sin. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Those words ring throughout the gospel, the New Testament gospel that we preach. Pardon from sin, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to God. You know, all of that is there. But it's for the one who diligently seeks the Lord. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 again, what we looked at over the last several weeks. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There comes a time, or can come a time, when those who are making, we might say, feeble attempts to draw near to God, who have not diligently sought Him, will no longer be able to find Him. And the pardon that is available to them will not be available any longer. But for those who are His children, those who seek Him daily, continuously seek Him daily, to draw near to Him because they want Him to draw near to them, they find joy. They find peace. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, again, along with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I kind of like to have those chapters tag team together when I think about comfort. But I think about those words, a place of full release and a place of joy, that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And again, Paul says, and again I say, rejoice. But that place of full release, I believe, in that place of peace, is found in the following verses as well. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a place of full release. There is a place of comfort. There is a place of joy. And we need to be reminded of that. And regardless of what happens in this life, regardless of whether, you know, because we are constantly reminded of those who are suffering physically. We're constantly reminded, whether we realize it or not, of those who are suffering spiritually. We need to comfort them. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for just a moment. I want you to look at those words one more time that are there. And listen to the Apostle Paul. Because he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who does what? Who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a lot of comforting going on in just those two short verses. That is accomplished when we draw near to the heart of God. When we have made those attempts to do that very thing. When we have sought His peace. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." To draw near to the heart of God requires trust on our part. And trusting that He is capable of comforting us with the comfort with which He has already comforted us. He's enabling us to do the same thing for others that need help. But we all, at all times, need to draw near to the heart of God. You see, the chorus, it starts out and reminds us then that not only do we trust in God, that drawing near to the heart of God means that we trust our Savior. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. Jesus, O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. God is mindful of man in ways that boggle my mind at times. But God sent us a Redeemer, one who would shed His blood for us. And as you look at the chorus of that song, "O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God," it was just that. And greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus, or Paul said about Jesus. And Jesus said that about himself too. You think about that. God demonstrated this type of love to us. Just at the right time, He sent His Son into this world to die for all man so that we can draw near to Him. Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, also talks of reconciliation that was demonstrated by him sending His Son into this world. But once we have been redeemed by our Savior, that comfort, that peace, that joy that we can have as His child should be such that it holds us in place. Hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. How many times have you heard someone say, "Don't lose heart"? Never lose heart. Never give up as a child of God. Persevere all the way to the end. Finish the course, like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But do it by remaining near to the heart of God all of your days. Why? Because life is full of unexpected problems and crises. You never know what's going to happen the next day. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Something might pop up that just it seems like it's going to send you over the edge. But we can determine to live courageously in this life so that we can live eternally in the next life. Regardless of what we face, if we stay near to the heart of God. Take out your songbooks. Tyler has selected a song for us this evening that serves as an invitation. Number 269, "Nothing But the Blood." And if you are in need of responding to the Lord's invitation, that opportunity is given to you at this time. Whatever your soul is in need of in terms of salvation, we stand ready to assist you. If you've strayed from God and you need to draw nearer to Him, confess your sin to Him. He's faithful and just to forgive your unrighteousness. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, we stand ready to assist you in drawing nearer to the heart of God comforting you, encouraging you to live faithfully till the very end. Can we help you this evening? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?